Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday morning, Faith Baptist Church. Excited about what God's going to do in our church today. Really thankful that there's a lot of people that are here, and it's a huge blessing to see all these mostly smiling faces. You say mostly smiling. Yeah, some people never look happy in church. I don't know why, but some people don't. Some people don't even laugh at my jokes, and I definitely can't understand that. Other people are wearing masks, so I can't tell if they're smiling, frowning, sticking their tongue out. I don't really know, but it's nice to have people here, and we're thankful for the opportunity to still be able to live stream the services. Looking forward to next Sunday. Next Sunday, what we're going to plan on doing is not only Sunday morning, but Sunday night and Wednesday night. We are still encouraging everyone who feels comfortable to come. If you don't feel comfortable, please just stay home. Be safe. We're asking God to lead and guide us in all this, and that's what we're seeking, for God's wisdom. And the only person that can do your walk with God is you personally, and no one's going to be judging you. But we're just thankful and glad that we have the opportunity to have church again, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. It is Memorial Day weekend, and very thankful for Memorial Day. One of the reasons why I'm thankful for Memorial Day, it helps remind us how precious our freedom is. Yes. Mr. Bruce, I'm having a little bit of a ring up here or something. Thank you. It not only reminds us how special our freedom is, but also the great costs it took to purchase and also maintain our freedom. Now, Memorial Day, and I know most of you know this, is different than Veterans Day. Memorial Day is set aside specifically to honor those who died while serving in our country's military. But I'd like to mention an appreciation for all those who served in the military, understanding that under different circumstances, we could be honoring them today. And the reason why is because they might have had to give up their lives too. And thankful for them taking that risk, thankful for the duty that they felt called as an American to help serve our countries. I know some was voluntarily, some was through the draft, but I'm very, very thankful for those that were willing to serve. And so we're thankful for all those that served in the military. We do honor those who gave their lives on this weekend, especially tomorrow. I know at 3 o'clock, I believe, is the time where you're supposed to take a few moments of silence just to consider. Our theme this year is consider, and it's important. If we don't have days like this, and if we don't take time to consider, you know what, we're not going to remember. The Bible talks about even with the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. God knew us. God knew that we needed to be reminded. And so Memorial Day is a special day when we take time to consider the over a million people who died for our freedoms that we enjoy. If you take time to consider it and think about it, it's a very humbling thought that so many gave their lives for such a great country and for such a great freedom. Many of them considered it was their duty to serve and wanted to have the America they loved to share with their families and also future generations. So we want to thank them for all they did and the difference that they made in our nation's history. So let's make it a point not to forget. Let's make it a point not to take the things for granted. And let's make it a point that we have the opportunities to share the freedoms with the generations to come too. So today in our services, you're going to see that we're going to do some patriotic songs. And it's just a time to help us remember as we head into Memorial Day to just remember we should not forget. And we should be thankful. And we should be grateful. We have a lot of freedoms today. And it costs something. And it costs something great and costs something very dearly. We consider the families who have loved ones that they're missing today because of the fact they gave their lives in the service. Let's have a word of prayer and open up our service and ask God's blessing today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're, Lord, truly blessed. And when we consider and think of the many, many blessings, one of those things that would rise to the top of my list and many of our lists is to be able to live in America. Lord, we know that you're sovereign, we know that you're all-knowing, we know that you're all-powerful, but you chose us to be born, to allow us to be born here in America, or live here now in America, and Lord, what a privilege it is. Help us never take it for granted. Help us see the religious freedoms that we have here, the Christian heritage that we have. And Lord, this be something that we want to show to the generations to come and teach the importance of it. God, we are thankful for your word. Thankful for that the greatest freedom we have and the spiritual freedoms we have that's bought on the cross of Calvary. And God, we pray that you bless your service today. A lot of crazy things going on in our world. but we're thankful that we have a God that knows all and can do all. And Lord, we're praying that you work in our hearts today. Thankful for the people that are here. Lord, we pray that you keep us healthy and safe. Thankful for those that are able to watch through live streaming and online. Lord, we ask that you keep them safe too. Lord, give us wisdom in the days to come and the steps and moments that we have. Help us to lean completely and totally on you. And God, as we open up our service today, help it be one that would honor you, glorify you, and one that you would be pleased with because it's done by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start off with our theme song, and then we're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. So let's go ahead and everybody stand if you're able to. And if your theme song's on the front cover of your hymn book, if you don't have it, the theme song is Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And that's what we've done to come here today to do, is worship the Lord. Brother Jim?
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Now we're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner in honor of those who gave their lives for our freedom. We're going to be singing the first and last verses. Out there with streaming, please sing with us. Sing God of our fathers. We really honor the God of our fathers. Amen. We're singing the first and third verses. God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds. Our grateful songs before thy throne
Let's see here, a couple quick announcements. Birthdays of the week, Kaylee Colvin's birthday is on the 30th, and also anniversary of the week, Todd and Leah Ackley's anniversary is on the 30th too, so happy birthday and happy anniversary to all of them. Also, this past week, I know the state of North Carolina entered into phase number two with the reopening, but one thing they didn't make too much of mention about was the churches, but the governor has issued a order that honors the protection for all churches. I don't think he did that because he wanted to. I think he did that because of the lawsuit that was being brought against them. But as of right now, the people in North Carolina can go to church and worship the way that they feel like the Lord leads them to do. Now they're asking us to continue to follow the same guidelines they ask you to do at a store and other things like that. And that's what we're going to continue on, putting in precautions, because we want everyone to be healthy. We want everyone to be safe. But we are going to continue on moving forward. Like I said, next week on Sunday night, Wednesday night, we'll be having church. And then 2 weeks after that, we'll begin our Sunday schools and our kids programs, as long as everything is still looking the same with the health of our church family and the surrounding area. So we're really excited about that. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being faithful. Thank you for those who came last week, and excited how God worked all that out. How God used, I believe, Return America and some of those churches to help just nudge things in the right way. I know President Trump said some interesting things this past week, and he made this statement. He says, some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. He says, it's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. So it was nice to hear that when our president says that and at least tries to help that and says, hey, look, he even said something to the line of, you know, telling the governors to change, and he'd do his best to help them out and change. If they got in trouble, he would try to help them. So it's interesting things he said this past week. So thankful for that the president would do that. I think that's pretty much it for our announcements for this week. We're still, like I said, opening things up slowly. People have been asking about what's going to happen with the choir or for senior luncheons. And as time leads, you know, as time goes on, we'll figure those things out one step at a time. But we're just thankful that you're here and part of the services, and just shows us a greater appreciation to have our church and our church family, all those different things. Remember to be on the lookout for the different things that go online. We have a adult/teen Bible study every week. This past week, Brother Dave Barnhouse did it for us, different preachers each week. I'm going to have another guy on Friday, and then also on Saturdays we upload our kids program. So each week we do a FBC kids program, and I think many people have been enjoying those. And also we've been going through and doing our prayer challenge too. We'll probably finish up that this week. We'll probably give you the last two this week, and you'll be on the lookout for that earlier in the week for the first one and the end of the week for the last one. Thank you for all those who have been watching this stuff. I got a lot of encouragement from it. And like I said, we'll just let the Lord lead us and guide us on all the different things as we just follow him through this time of uncertainty. But it's just good to be here. So Brother Jim's going to come lead us in another song. And then we're going to have some special music, and then it'll be preaching time.
All right, we're going to sing America the Beautiful. We're going to sing the first three verses. So beautiful for spacious skies. If you're watching at home, please sing with us.
And every take the bloodshed in my place so I could have freedom today. I live in a family so free where I can have peace and no one can take that away from me. When God's people by faith and enter in. You can live in a family so free where you can have peace and no one can take that away from you. When God's people look to Him, all who are within
Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 3 this morning. Joshua chapter number 3 is where we're going to start off at. Joshua chapter number 3. I've been thinking a little bit and praying a little bit throughout the week about the memorial days and the sermons and messages that go along with that. And don't always do things that wrap in together with special days around that we're observing around the country and but this is one of the days that it helps us remember and consider. It goes right along what we're talking about. So we're going to preach a message today talking about considering memorials. So what does the word memorial mean? Well, according to the dictionary, it says that which preserves the memory of something. Something that preserves the memory of something. Or it can also mean something, especially a structure established to remind people of a person or event. So when we think about Memorial Day, what are they? They have taken a day, they have set it aside to help us remember those who have fallen or have given their lives or lost their lives while serving in our military. And what do you do with memorials? I know some people are more historical, or some people are a little bit more sentimental, or some people are just consider it a little bit more often. I can't understand how somebody wouldn't consider our country and our flag and consider the freedoms we have and consider all the different things that go along with that and come across Memorial Day and at least not be humbled and thankful for what many people have done and what God, when He started our nation and how He has preserved it through these many, many years. And you say, well, some people don't feel that way. And I think some of the reason why is because people aren't taught or people aren't encouraged to remember or people aren't asked to remember or challenged to remember. I know some people are very, very patriotic. I know others don't get it, don't understand it. And I think the same thing with the memorials that you see in the Bible and the same thing with memorials you see all across the country and even all throughout our world, it means something to people that are willing to take time to consider. It means something to those that have learned about the truth of the history, and it means something that for those that really want to understand. So I began thinking, what do you do with memorials? And there's three things I thought about. The first thing is a memorial is there to help us to remember. I think that's pretty obvious. Second thing, I think what you can do with a memorial is there so you can learn something. So when you think about Memorial Day, you think, okay, there's a memorial there, and okay, so I'm supposed to remember something. Not only am I supposed to remember something, I can learn something about it too. And we're going to look at some memorials in the Bible today, and we're not just going to remember them, but we're also going to remember what we learned about it. I don't know about you, but Memorial Day for me, and growing up, I was not one of those people, at least not that I remember. For some reason, I don't got the greatest memory in the world. But, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't, you know, talk that much about Memorial Day. You know, I just might have been a kid or a teenager, like a lot of kids and teenagers, and they just don't listen or they just don't see the importance of it. But, you know, it's something that when I got here as a assistant pastor, I began thinking about it, even as I'm trying to prepare messages for it. This is something that's important. I began learning, you know, why is it precious? I began looking at the freedoms we have and why it's precious, and then began looking at the number of people that gave their lives and the historical stories that are there and the inspirational stories and all those different things that wrap into this thought of Memorial Day. So not only do you supposed to remember something, you're supposed to remember what you learned, or even an increase in your learning. And the third thing when I think about memorials is not only to remember, not only to learn, but also to react. Also to react. What do you mean? What are you going to do with the knowledge you have? React to it. Some people have the knowledge, okay, this is what happened then, this is the country, and they don't let it affect them, don't let it phase them. They just accept and say, okay, what's the big deal? And there's different ways to react. First, there's an honoring. Sometimes when there's something you remember and there's a memorial there, you look at it and you think, that's an honorable cause. In the Bible, there's some honorable memorials, and most of them are honorable. Some other times, there's ones that are not honorable. I think about Achan, and we might look a little bit at Achan this afternoon. After he was killed, they put a whole pile of stones there. The reason why they put that pile of stones there is so everybody's going to remember it. That's not something that's honorable. That's something that's, yeah, we're supposed to remember that, and there's something that we're supposed to learn from that, but it's not that it's an honorable thing. There's memorials that are there, and you look around, you see certain things, and they encourage you. And like I said, Memorial Day is a day that's an honorable thing and something we should honor, but there's something we should learn. Not only is it a time to honor memorials, but there's also times when we learn from the mistakes that the memorial represents. And thirdly, we should always teach. Not only do we honor, and sometimes we learn from the mistakes, but we should always be someone who teaches. Teach what? Teach who? The meaning of it. And it's amazing. Memorial Day, you go and you do some research, there's different versions of how it started. And there's different thoughts about this person says that it was the South, and this person says it was the North that started, and this person of here says it was the freed slaves that started. There's all different types of things that go on. And history is something that's very interesting. And I do know it was officially recognized a few years later, and that was up in New York. But history is interesting. If you don't experience history for yourself and the things that are around you, you're trusting somebody else to teach you the history. You say, what's the important part? Well, you think about right now with what's going on even in the day and time we live in. One of the greatest things that I struggle with is, what is truth? When it comes to the virus, I know the Bible's the word of God. I know that's true. But I'm talking about, who do you believe? You have a certain group from one side that's trying to promote their own things that says one way, and a certain group from another side that says one thing, and probably the truth falls somewhere in the middle, and probably the truth is leaning towards one side, obviously, but this is the challenge of, hey, we don't know how to react. You know, we don't know how to behave, because what is truth? What is right about the numbers, and what's wrong about the numbers? How many people really have died because of the virus, and how many people have been, how many people have actually gotten the virus and haven't even, you know, there's so many different things. Like, for instance, as you see states opening up, there's going to be a challenge there because there's going to be more reported cases. But they're not going to tell you that more people are being tested too, and that there's more things available for testing. So these reported cases could be ones that are asymptomatic or ones from past and previous. But they can lump all those numbers together. And it's confusing. It's challenging to try to dig in and find the truth, and you don't really have a resource to find. You say, why do you go through all that? History is something that as you experience and as you go through it, you learn it for yourself. And as you pass it down to the generations to come, you have lived through these things, and you can explain to someone, this is what happened during this time period. I don't know about you, I've mentioned before, this is an uncertain time, unlike anything else that we've ever done. As a parent right now, I can imagine that later on, if I have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, the Lord lets me be around that long, and if somebody agrees to marry Christian or Andrew, which who knows if that will ever happen. I'm saying their grandparents are here today, so I'll probably hear about that. But, you know, it's the idea that this is something that that they might ask you about in a school project. Hey, you lived through that COVID virus. What happened during those times? And believe me, it's amazing. If we allow God to work in our heart and we allow God to work in our lives, we can talk about the victories we won. We can talk about the accomplishments that God gave us during that time. Yeah, churches might have been closed for a little while, but you know, they did these things like live streaming, and they did this, and they did this. I spent more time with God during that time than I did any other time. You know, I was able to be spend more time alone with God, able to be a blessing this way and that way. There are so many things, if we're living for the Lord during this time period, it's a unique time period, if we allow God to lead us and guide us, and we're not, and we have something to say. Now, if you just sit on your couch all day and don't do anything, guess what? You're going to say, well, it was just like everything else. But God gives us, for such a time as this, an opportunity in a way, in a moment in time, that he has placed us here right now for this reason. And it's not just to sit and wait. It's to seek his will and let God lead us and guide us in what he wants us to do. So as we look here in Joshua chapter number 3, there in chapter 3 and chapter number 4, there's a memorial there I want you to look at, especially in chapter number 4. But I want to kind of build a foundation here with this. Remember that. What do you do with memorials? Or memorials are set up so we can remember. They're set up so we can learn. They're set up so we can react. And as we're going through this, we're going to look at some different things. And then at the end of the message, we're going to look at some other memorials in the Bible and see what we have remembered, what we have learned, and how we should react. Let's go ahead and jump in Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. And we're going to go ahead and begin in verse number 3. Now, to catch you up to speed where we're at, in Joshua chapter number 3, the nation of Israel is finally going into the promised land. They are finally obeying God and by faith. Now, their forefathers or their fathers 40 years or 45 years earlier did not go into the promised land. They're there. They're right there at the Jordan River. The Jordan River at this point in time is overflowing because of the season. It's impossible for them to cross. There is a large group of people in the million, over a million at least, if not more, that is there and getting ready to go over to the promised land. The Jordan River is here. It is in the flooding season, which means the banks are overflowing with the water, and they had to get to the other side, and there's no way they're going to do that. The only way they're going to get to the other side is with God's help. And that's what Joshua says to the people in chapter 3, verse number 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're asking and seeking for your help this morning. Lord, we know that unless you take the word of God and place it in people's heart, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts and the Holy Spirit of God works, we know that you're one that does the work, Lord, spiritually. We know we can't accomplish nothing spiritually without you. So, Lord, we're asking, we're begging, we're seeking your help today. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Help us all to understand a little bit more about memorials and how we should remember them, but also the things we've learned from them, and also the things that we should react to. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a couple of phrases in these verses that I really enjoy. The first one is at the end of verse number 4. It says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. So he's looking at Joshua, who is a new leader to them. Moses has just passed away here recently. Joshua is there. They're probably trying to figure out Joshua. They're probably thinking, is this the right guy? We know he was Moses with Moses all these years. God even talks about how in verse number 7, he says, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel. He said, this day, Joshua, is the day that you're going to show them that you're going to be the leader. And he's speaking to a large group of people. And inside this group of people, remember who's here. They have just wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years. They have just watched their fathers and grandfathers, anyone that was over 20, except for Caleb and Joshua, and possibly, pass away. So they're there, and Joshua's up there, and Joshua says something to them that's interesting. And he says, you have not passed this way. He says, for you have not passed this way heretofore. They're saying, you're getting ready to go someplace you've never gone. And in the wilderness, they probably wandered, and they probably passed a number of things a number of times. But he says, you're getting ready to go to a new challenge. And he's reminding them, hey, look, as this new challenge, this is nothing you've ever done before. There's people out there in the world that think they know everything and they think they can handle everything. But he's saying, look, you are getting ready to go to something new. And as I was reading these verses, it began to make me think about what we're going through today. And with the virus and how the world's changing and how all the things that are going on in America, this is unlike anything we've seen before. I know some people say, well, we've had pandemics and we've had flus. I know that, but the economic things and also what's going on with the virus, plus the how the country is being torn in half with different political things, this day and time is unlike anything else. I would say that these words, for you have not passed this way heretofore, is something that you could say is America. America, you've never gone through anything like this. And at least you and your generations of people sitting here have never gone through this before. And what Joshua is saying, because you have never gone through this before, you need to stand up and you need to listen. You need to pay attention. You need to focus on some things here. And that's what he does here. And he says in verses number 3, 4, and 5, he gives them some instruction. So the first thing I want you to think here, and his first point is, memorials are built because of times of uncertainty. Many times, memorials are built because of times of uncertainty. You think of the great memorials that are around our country today, some for the Civil War, some for the Vietnam War, some for the World War II, some for the other wars. And those times, when those wars are going on, it was many times a time of uncertainty. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? It's during times of uncertainty that there are those that will rise up and those that will do things that are worthy of being honored. It says, you're entering into a stage of life and you've never been this way before. He had never been in the promised land to the Israelites, and they didn't know what to expect. You see the instructions that are given. And the first thing it says in at the end of verse number 3, he says, go after it. Let's read the whole verse again. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. So he's saying to them, okay, you know what the Ark is. Now, when you see the Ark, that's the time you need to get up and go after it. Now, what does the Ark represent? Back then, the Ark represented the presence of God. It represented God's leading. God was leading them, the Israelites, here through the Ark. Now, before, remember, what did he used to lead them with? He used to lead them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. That's no longer there. What he is saying is, hey, look, you've never been this way before. Now, when you see the presence of God, or what you see represents God, get up and move. Guess what you should do? You should go after it. When you're living in a day of uncertainty, you know what you need to do? You need to follow after the Lord. You need to follow hard after the Lord. You need to pay attention. You need to see what's going on. Hey, look, God is leading. God is moving. If God wants me to go this way, I'm going to follow the Lord. And you see here, he says, go after it. Second thing I want you to think about is that when he says in verse number 4, it says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. So what Joshua is telling him, under the instruction of the Lord, that there needs to be a space between the ark and a space between the people. Now you say, what's the why? Well, there's over 1 million people. Everybody could see the big tall pillar of cloud. Everybody could see the big pillar of fire, but not everyone can see the ark. But as they were at a distance, they knew where the ark was, and they're saying, hey, look, put a distance between the two of you and then continue on following. You need to be able to see. You need to get the direction that it's going. You need to understand which way it's being headed. They're no longer following the cloud, which would have been easy to see, but the ark was on the ground level. So for them to be able to follow the Lord's direction, they had to know where it was going to be headed. They didn't want to trust in other people. They didn't want to say, hey, let's go this way, and hey, let's go that way. That's what happened before when they came to the promised land. They said, no, we're going to focus on the ark, and we're going to let it lead us, and we're going to let it direct us, and we're going to let it guide us, because that's representative of God to them. Remember, he taught them, and he says, hey, look, you're in a place that you've never been before. You've never gone this way before. This is all new. This is all different. First thing, make sure you're following after God. Secondly, make sure you're looking for directions. Don't start leaning on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord of all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he's going to direct your path. So that's what Joshua is saying to him. Hey, look, now you see God. You go after him. You seek after him. You follow him, and you follow his leading. And the third thing I want you to see here is found in verse number 5. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, Joshua tells them. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So he goes and he says, hey, I want you to do something. In order for you to follow after God, in order for God to do wonders among you, you're going to have to get cleaned up. That idea sanctified is giving an idea, a message of purification. Purity was a high priority in the program of God. Purity was something that has been written throughout the Bible and what he expects. Unfortunately, many churches today do not place an emphasis on being clean before God and having a pure and holy life. If you want God to work in your life, Joshua is saying here, you go after him, you seek him for direction, but you got to clean yourself up. If you want God to be able to do things in your lives, and he says here at the end of verse number 5, the Lord will do wonders among you. The only way God's going to do wonders among you is if you're clean and ready to serve the Lord. And so we see here, this is the beginning. Now, we're not going to, for sake of time, we're not going to read all of this, but God miraculously opens up the waters of the Jordan River. They're able to cross over. And as they're crossing over, God tells Joshua to tell them to set up a memorial. So the second thing, the first thing was memorials are built because in times of uncertainty. Second thing, memorials are built for reasons. Memorials are built for reasons. Go to chapter number 4 now. Look what it says in verses 6 and 8. Now you say, well, what's the memorial? There's two different memorials, actually. Joshua says, now where the water's dry at, where the land is dry at, take the rocks out of the river, carry them to a certain place, and we're going to build a pillar of 12 stones there. Also, they're going to build 12 stones inside the Jordan River, too, in two different locations. And we don't have time to go over all that because we're trying to get to a certain spot here. But there is a memorial that's being built that shows what happened. But look for the reasons here in verse number 6, chapter 4, verse number 6. It says that, and here's the reason for it. Actually, we'll do verse number 5 just so you catch up a little bit. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take ye up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder. Now, he had chosen 12 different men, or they had chosen one man out of each tribe. They went and they grabbed the stone, they put on their shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So they got 12 things, 12 stones. Verse number 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So he says, I want to build these stones, and these stones are going to stay here. And the reason why these stones are going to stay here, and I believe it's Gilgal, is because when your children see it, I want you to tell them what God did. Now, it's written again in a different way at the end of the chapter. And look what it says in verses 20 through 24 also. Joshua chapter number 4, verses 20 through 24. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse number 24 is the key here. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might also fear the Lord your God forever. So what the scriptures are saying here is the reason why the memorial was made is, first of all, is so we can teach our children. If you look at verse number 21, it says that someday in the future, a child who is going to be interested and they're going to see all those rocks, they're going to say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, what do those stones mean? And that gives an opportunity for the father or the mother to teach them what God had done in their lives and what they had been a part of and what they had got to experience. Why could they experience this? Because they listened. They followed after the ark. It's because they looked to God for direction. They cleaned themselves up so they could see God do wonderful works in their hearts and lives. So when the children later on came and said, hey, what's those 12 big stones that are sitting there? What does that mean? He's saying, this is when God did something special in our midst. The only time you're going to have something to tell your children about what God's done in your life is when you're willing to follow after him and look to him for direction and make sure that your lives are clean. Now, these memorials are built for a reason. It's so we can teach our children and we can teach them how God had provided and how that God was powerful. I remember and I think about this Memorial Day and we think about the freedoms that we have. This is something we want to pass down from generation to generation to generation. Ronald Reagan once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. What he's saying there is, hey, look, you have this freedom today, but it's something you must pass down. And if you want to pass it down, it's something that you're going to have to fight for, because if not, you're going to have to just tell your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, this is what it used to be like when we could have church, and this is what it used to be like when we had spiritual freedom. This is what it used to be like when we could hand out a Bible tract and that we could carry a Bible. This is what it used to be like, and we don't want to ever see that. But that's why the generations in the past have stood up for the religious freedom, and that's why men were willing to give their lives and women were willing to give their lives for the cause of freedom and for the cause of America. Memorials are built for a reason, and we're supposed to pass it down to our kids. I ask this question with all sincerity: what are you teaching your kids? What is it that you're passing down to your kids? We're going to look at that a little bit more this afternoon, but what is it that you have given over to your kids? Now, this is something that they're saying they can tell their kids and they can show their kids. Guess what God did here. Guess what this represents. Just a little while later, you got Jericho that's there. They could take him by the ruins of Jericho and say, remember what dad told you that God did for him and what the granddad did, you know, all those different things. There's something that can be taught because they were willing to follow after the Lord and look to him for directions and willing to be clean. Psalms chapter 78 says, "We have heard and known, our fathers have told us." That verse says that the fathers told him something. What did the fathers teach him? He says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord." Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with teaching your kids how to do certain things, whether it's playing a sport or getting a hobby or cooking or whatever it is. He says, but we should make sure we tell our children the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. It doesn't just say in Psalm 78:4 that we should tell them. It says showing them. The difference between telling and showing, it means that, hey, I can tell you what God is, but when I can show you what God's done in my own life, when I can show you the stones and I can show you the memorial and I can point to something and say, this is where God helped me. This is where God made a difference. This is what God has done. We can see that there's a difference between just telling and showing. So in the scriptures here, when they ask this question, their children can know, this is how God worked in my heart and my life. Psalm 78 continues on, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. He says, not only so that their children can know, but so that their grandchildren can know, and so their great-grandchildren can know, because your children, if you don't teach your children, your grandchildren are never going to know, and then your great-grandchildren are never going to know. And then he says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with them. And it says in the verse earlier that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. They put this memorial here, these 12 stones, to say, this is here so you won't forget. That's the reason why we celebrate Memorial Day. It's there so you don't forget. These stones are here. And so that way when your children come up and say, hey, Dad, tell me the story about the stones again. And you can imagine how amazing it must have been in the description that, hey, it was overflowing on this side and overflowing this side. It was dumping into the Dead Sea. It had to stop everything for them to be able to walk through and be able. It would have been an amazing story. That's how God works. The same thing with Jericho. They were right and their hearts were right. They were following after the Lord. They were listening to the Lord. The next thing I want you to think about, not only is it so we can teach your children, but so the rest of the world can know too. Look what it says in verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. The moral was given here to give God glory. I don't know about you, but I trace everything back to God. That's just me. I even see in Memorial Day, yes, it's to honor those who gave their lives, but God's the one that started our nation. And God, is in his sovereignty, was able to keep our nation. You know, America wouldn't be here if it were not for God. You know, we wouldn't even be here. We learned that last Sunday morning. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. All things consist because of him. And here, this verse says in verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know. So what this is teaching me and showing me is in verse 21, it says, when your kids ask. But this memorial is also a representation that all the earth may know too. That all the, it says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. So this is a representation that this memorial here is something that's showing the world there's a God. And not only that there is a God, but there is a God that is holy. And not only that there is a God that is holy, but it says here that it is that the hand of the Lord that is mighty. And there's a reaction to that. So what are we supposed to learn from it? We remember Jordan River. We learned what God did from it, but how are we supposed to react? It says, so we're supposed to fear the Lord. But not just us, we're supposed to tell others. How else is the world going to know what those stones represent unless we tell them? How else is the world going to hear unless we build memorials that show and speak to the honor and glory of God in our own lives? But remember this, memorials are there so we can remember, so we can learn from them, and so we can react. There's a lot of wonderful, they're sometimes called a memorial, sometimes they're called a token, sometimes they're a feast. But they're all representing a memorial of things that we should be thinking about when it comes to the scriptures. First thing I want you to think about is some different memorials. So remember, why is a memorial given? It's so that way we can teach our children and so we can teach the world. They're given many times in days of uncertainty. Think about the rainbow. I don't know about you, but the rainbow is kind of pretty to look at. And when the rainbow looks up there, I don't know what you see. I know sometimes people see double rainbows. Oh man, that looks great. That looks pretty. You know what the first thing that comes to my mind is? Man, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. And there's things. So when we see the rainbow, what do we remember? Hopefully you remember the flood. Hopefully you remember when Noah got off the boat and God gave this this covenant with him. If you want to take your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 9, we're going to look at a few different memorials here that are found in the scriptures to just kind of give you an idea of things to look at. Remember, it's remembering, learning, and reacting. Genesis chapter number 9, we see in verses 12 through 17, they're talking about the rainbow. Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 12, it says, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, that every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. It says, I do set my bow in this cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and everything, every living creature of all the flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So when you see that rainbow, remember the flood. But what do we learn from the flood? I mean, it seems like the world today is not learning the things that we could learn from the flood. You know, one of the things I remember about the flood was the days before the flood, the wickedness of man. So many times people are, well, man's not that bad. No, man is wicked at heart. And if it's left to go on its own, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get worse and worse. I think about the wickedness of man. What made these men so bad and so wrong that God said, I had to judge the whole world? Can you imagine that? I think about the mercy of God. He spared the life of Noah. He spared the life of his family. I think about how God was just. God allowed Noah to preach for over 100 years, preaching, I'm sure, the righteousness of God. I'm sure it's about getting on the ark, that the rain was coming. And I think about the power of God in that. And you begin to consider, you know, how did all those animals get on that ark? You know, how did God allow waters to come up and the waters to come down to be able to flood the entire earth? It's an amazing thought. It's something that's wonderful and it's grander. It's great. God would only be able to do that. God gets the glory for that. So what happens? You see the memorial of the rainbow. It's not just look at the pretty colors. It's God's bow, and we remember the flood. And what do we learn? We learn about the mercy of God, and we learn about his justice. We learn about the wickedness of man. We learn about the power of God. So how do we react from that? What is it that we do from those things? We flee wickedness. We thank God for his mercy. We remember that God is just and God is holy and God will always do what's right. Even though it might seem as if the wicked is making it and the wicked is winning, we know that in the end, God will always do what is right and good. We need to move for the sake of time. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12, there is another memorial, but it's a feast. It's called the Feast of the Passover. Exodus chapter number 12. Now, most of you would remember the story about the Passover, how after the 9 plagues, that there was a 10th plague, and the nation of Israel kept on, through Moses, asking to leave and be able to go on their own. And the plague was the plague was now they're going to lose their firstborn. And the only way that you could not lose the firstborn is by taking the blood and putting it on the doorpost. Here in Exodus chapter number 12, God sets up a feast. God sets up a memorial saying, I want you to do this because I want you to remember. I don't want you to ever forget. He put the rainbow in the sky so we would never forget the covenant. He has the feast of the Passover, the Passover feast, so we never forget. It says Exodus chapter number 12, and it says in verse number 11, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by the ordinance of forever. So what do we remember about the Passover? I remember, it's amazing how God was able to skip over the houses. I remember how God saved the nation of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, and they were set free. So what do we remember about that? What do you learn from it? You think about the amazing power of God. You think about all the 9 plagues. Then you think about that 10th plague, to how God can keep people safe, his people safe, despite the fact that everyone else is facing judgment. Praise the Lord for that. And God doesn't forget his people. We see the importance of the blood also, that we need the blood. Without the blood, there's no remission of sin. We also see that we're set free from the bondage of sin by the blood of Jesus, the same way the Israelites were set free from the bondage of the Egyptians, and how God used the blood of the Lamb. So we learn something from that. We remember it. We remember the things we learn. Now what do we do with it? We teach it to somebody else. We use that as an example and say, you know what? I've been set free from sin. I no longer have to do that sin. I am no longer a servant of sin. I choose what I want to do. We react to the different things that are there. And once again, for sake of time, we're going to keep on moving. The last one is the Lord's Supper. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you liked, you can turn there or you can listen as the words are being read. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 24 through 26. You think about the Lord's Supper. And last year we did Memorial Day, we did the Lord's Supper, observed the Lord's Supper, and we said we're going to start doing that every year. Well, this year it's a little bit different with the virus stuff going on. But you think about it, this is a great day not only to remember what happened with those that gave their lives for our freedom, but you think about Christ who gave our lives for the ultimate freedom, the freedom from sin, the freedom from the punishment and the pain of sin, and also someday from the presence of sin. The Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 24 through 26. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Now, we've gone over, and you could talk about the rainbow, the Passover, and the Lord's Supper. You could spend sermons and spend a whole month talking about one of those. We're just giving you an example here of the truths that are found about these memorials. They are there so we can remember. But what are we supposed to remember? We're supposed to remember the things that we've learned from them. And how are we supposed to do it? We're supposed to react to that. Just like when we hear the stories of people giving their lives, we remember that. We learn about it, but we react. How do we react? We want to protect the freedoms. We don't want their blood to go for no reason. We want to be able to pass that down, just like they did. The Lord's Supper teaches us, we remember, hopefully we remember every day, we remember what Christ did for us on the cross. His body was broken, his blood was spilled. What do we learn from it? Well, there's so much. You think about it, we learn about God's love for mankind. We learn about the justice of God and the penalty of sin. We learn that he wants us to remember it. You think about it in the scriptures. He says, do this in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember. He didn't institute the Lord's Supper so at the end of church, you're just really thirsty and a little bit of grape juice tastes good. Or you're really looking forward to that little wafer that's going by. That's not the purpose of it. Now, as a kid, that's probably what I thought. As a kid, I was like, wow, that I like grape juice. But that's not, he wants us to remember something. He doesn't want us to forget why the rainbow's there. He doesn't want us to forget the Passover. He doesn't want us to forget the Lord's Supper, because he wants us to remember and what we're supposed to do with that. You think about it, when he was willing to give his life for us, it's found all over in the scriptures, we're supposed to be willing to give our lives for him. What he did for me should cause me to react to want to do more for him. So what do we consider about memorials? As I consider these different memorials, I think, number one, I need to remember certain things. There are certain things I forget too easy. I take too many things for granted. One of the things that happened during this virus time, when they're saying you can't meet at church or you're not supposed to meet at church, blah, 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 we took for granted our church and religious freedom sometimes. Hopefully we never forget that. Hopefully we want to stand up for that. We want to do whatever is necessary to be able to continue to worship freely. How do we react? What do we learn? And these memorials, as we look at Memorial Day, we don't forget the price that was paid. As we consider the rainbow, we don't forget what God did in saving Noah and his family and preserving the earth. We don't forget the Passover, that it was the blood of the Lamb. We don't forget about the Lord's Supper and what he did for us on the cross. We take that for granted so often, and when we take that for granted, you know what happens? We forget the things we've learned. And when we forget the things that we learned, we don't react. That's why God puts memorials in the Bible and says, here's a memorial. I know you're going to forget, so I'm going to set these stones here. So every time you pass by those stones, you'll look at them and you'll say, hey, I remember that day. I remember what it was like to walk through there. I remember how God helped me that day. I remember I had to get clean with the Lord. I remember this, I remember that. And the same thing as we were remembering the memorials that are set up in the Bible, and there's some wonderful other memorials in the Bible. I think about the Ebenezer Stone, and I think about some of the other things that God puts out there. I think about how Mary of Bethany is remembered as a memorial. And there are so many different wonderful things that as you think about these things that God has put here, there's a reason why, is so that we do remember. And then we remember the things that we've learned, and then we react. Are you reacting to the things that you've learned from the scriptures? I bet you many of us would say, yeah, I know the Bible frontwards and backwards. I know all these different truths. I know all about these memorials. You could probably come up and say, hey, Pastor, what about the one in Esther? And Pastor, what about Jacob when he put that stone there after he had slept on it? And you know, all those different things. Yeah, there's a lot of them. And we do know those things, but many times we forget to remember. Then we don't remember those things that we learned. And instead of reacting to the things of God, we react to the things that are on our mind. So what are you thinking about today? And this afternoon's message, this evening, I know it's hard to call it morning because we're getting ready to tape it in a little while, but it's this evening's message is when it'll be posted. It's what type of a memorial are you building? If your life was going to be a memorial someday, what are you building with your life? How are people going to remember you? What is it they're going to learn from you? How are people going to react to it? And it's a challenge. It's there because these are memorials that are found in the Bible, but they're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. We don't have Memorial Day just so you get an extra day off and so you can have a barbecue and so they can have parades and have all those things. They're there to remember and honor those that were willing to give their lives because it's an important thing. Now, let's not forget the things that God's trying to teach us in his word. Because when we forget, know what happens? We stop reacting to the things we should know is true. We stop reacting to the things that we've learned when we stop considering the things he's put in his word. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thankful for your word. Thankful for what Memorial Day represents. And God, I pray that you continue to work in our hearts and minds. Lord, it's amazing that you have put things in the scriptures specifically to say, this is a memorial, this is a memorial, that these are things that you do not want us to forget. But many times, oftentimes, we worry more about this world than we worry about you. We worry about how God is working in our hearts and minds, not as much as we worry about our everyday life. Lord, help us to live a life that will teach others, that others can learn from. And Lord, if someday that we build a life that is obviously not going to have a monument, but that family and friends could look at and say, that's someone who loved the Lord. That's how I remember that person. Lord, thank you for the rainbow. Thank you for the Passover feast. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. Help us to remember the power of God in each of those situations. Help us to see the mercy of God in each of those situations. Help us to see how you take care of your people in each of those situations. Help us to remember the things we've learned, and help us to react by doing your will and your plan and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. We're going to go ahead and get ready to be dismissed.